May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 277. Now I see, whate'er betide, all is well if Christ be mine. He has promised to provide, may he teach me to resign. Hymn 277.
Thank you. Let us read together for our instruction from the first book of Samuel, chapter 23. The first book of Samuel, chapter 23. Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors." Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go and smite the Philistines, and save Keilah." And David's men said unto him, "Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand." So David and his men went to Keilah, and fought with the Philistines, and brought away their cattle, and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass, when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, "God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars." And Saul called all the people together to war, to come down to Keilah and besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring hither the ephod." Then said David, "O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." Then said David, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will deliver thee up." Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah, and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him out, delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord. And David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Hakkadah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. And Saul said, Blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see his place, where his haunt is, and who hath seen him there. And it is told me that he dealeth very subtly. See therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come ye again to me with the certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah. And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south side of Jeshimon. Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul, for Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. But there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, Haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David, and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called that place Selah Hamahalikoth. And David went up from thence, and dwelt in strongholds at Engedi. Lord, bless his own word and help us in prayer. Gracious and merciful Lord God, we seek to draw near unto thee in this manner, desiring to worship thee as the true and the living God, and who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of thine heritage, who does not hold those things against thy own or dear people, but doth delight in thy mercy to bring deliverances and to save thy people. We look to thee for that salvation, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Lord, it is to know and to be taught by thy gracious Spirit our great need of thee, that we may be brought to confess at thy footstool all our sins. They are many, they are great, and he that hath sinned in one point is guilty of all. So, Lord, may we come tremblingly, knowing this, that there is no good to be found in us by nature, but from head to foot we are but putrefying sores of sin. O Lord, do look upon our malady. Do set before us the blessings of that remedy. May we see in Christ alone our only hope. May we flee to that rock of ages and find there an eternal safety. May we be brought to call upon thy holy and worthy name and to seek no other. Do, Lord, cast from us all that is of a detrimental effect to us and also of dishonour to thee. Do grant us, Lord, that humility. May we be brought, therefore, and confess that we are nothing. It is one thing, though, to read it, one thing to say it, but oh, to feel it. Lord, thou sometimes must empty us out, so that we have no more strength, no more wisdom of our own, and no more a help to be found except in thy gracious arm. Oh, may we know that right hand which may hold us up. May we know the embracings of that arm of everlasting love. May we feel that underneath are those everlasting arms to carry us on even to hoar hairs. So to our dying day we may know that we are safe in those blessed arms of Jesus. For Lord, we do desire to know something of his condescending grace. He who came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that he might be the righteousness of his people. And Lord, we plead that we may know the wonders of that imputed righteousness unto thy church, the body, to be clothed upon, that she may not be found naked, nor our souls be found naked. And therefore, as we approach unto thee, we may find our acceptance in and through the Beloved. Lord, do help us to venture, though the vilest of sinners, and feeling perhaps out of the way, and fearing that we may be consumed, yet to come as one that said, for if I stay away, I know I must forever die. And therefore, as one came before an earthly king, knowing the greater consequences, she came in uncalled for, that she may perish. But the the king put forth this golden scepter for her to touch. Oh, we would venture therefore to him who hath come down even to be amongst his own dear people, and was found of those in the days of thy flesh, and that as many as touched him were made perfectly whole. We would but touch that hem of thy garment, and oh, that we may know therefore the fruits that come through pardon, the fruits of thy gracious spirit, that may raise us up to be as true followers of thee, and that we may know the sweet encouragements of thy word. Lord, we would follow thee. May we realize, though, that to follow thee, there is a cost. But he that taketh not up his cross and followeth me is not worthy of me. Oh, that sometimes has searched our hearts, and still, when we may perhaps realize, compared with what our sins deserve, how easy are our pains, and how that we, O Lord, may sometimes therefore fall into that spirit of complacency, but do make us fervent, fervent in spirit, seeking the Lord. Oh, do pardon us of our half-heartedness. May we not, Lord, shun those are things which may be the means of driving us to the throne of grace. How thy servant David was brought in the days when his soul was sought after to be destroyed. Again and again he was compelled not just to flee from the adversary, but to flee to thy footstool and to seek deliverance there. Oh, may we know thy delivering grace. Save us indeed from all our sins, from our own treacherous heart, from the power of Satan. Deliver us from evil, as thou didst so exhort thy disciples to pray, and lead us not into temptation. Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst therefore preserve us from the tempting, or they of that which would draw us away from a bewitching world, with all its accompanying snares. Lord, as we have come into the sanctuary, as we trust it may be for our souls, and have come apart from the time of things which have occupied our minds through the course of the week now ended, but in coming now, may we receive strength from thy gracious hand to go forth into this another week, not knowing what may be before us. May it be, Lord, that we are enabled to cast all our care upon thee. Lord, as we have sung, so thou hast spoken it, cast on me. Oh, then, to so do. But we have to confess that often we bring our burden, we lay it at thy feet, and then seek to take it away and carry it still. But Lord, we do believe thou art a faithful God, and thou wilt hold us up, even in thy going, hold up our goings, even in thy paths, that our footsteps may not slip. Lord, one felt that he had well nigh slipped when he was envious at the foolish and desired to be found like those who seemed to have no bands in their death. But, O Lord, if thou hast brought us to fear and to know the solemnity of our standing and coming before thee in that solemn moment, oh, may we find then that only the precious atoning blood be our one plea. May we find it is the sheltering place. May we prove, O Lord, that that does answer. Oh, to have one to answer, and we must be dumb. But we are thankful, Lord, that thou hast answered for us in the person of thine own dear Son, who has said, Father, I will that these also may not come down to this one also, the one for whom thou hast prayed, that our faith may not fail, but be steadfast even unto the end, though flesh may fail, though we may find still there are those many sins that we have to confess. But Lord, may we prove that through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ that we are restored. Oh, restore us, restore my soul. So David pleaded. And may we, Lord, have that sweet confidence that thou art our shepherd, that thou art our father. Though Abraham may be ignorant of us, though it may not be perceived by perhaps even the most discerning of thy people, but Lord, thy gracious eye set upon the poor and needy, so that thou mayest testify and say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. We pray that thou wilt grant help now, help in the continuing. Lord, sometimes we fear to come to a sudden stop and know not what to say. But thou, Lord, canst help us, whether we are praying silently or are they one publicly seeking to lead the people in prayer. Or then we pray that thou would help us as we seek so to pray in this manner. But then, Lord, it is to speak in thy name. Oh, may we not be found as those that bring a blot upon the precious truth by declaring the things which are not convenient. Lord, may we not preach ourselves but Christ Jesus the Lord, to declare the whole counsel of God. Do therefore guide and lead our thoughts into those things that may be we trust laid upon our mind, and may the word go forth with power. May it enter into the souls of the hearers and do them good. May it suit them in their need. May they prove that they can then raise an Ebenezer. Thank thee for all thy many mercies. Praise thee for thy name's sake. And glorify thee who art in the heavens and who art God forevermore, thrice blessed forevermore. We do pray that thou wilt therefore look upon not only those present but also those absent, those that are indisposed through sickness, and how much there has been of that about, to lay perhaps some low temporally, but may it above all things be sanctified. May its heart be brought to know that the apostle did pen, that after ye have suffered a while, the Lord establish, strengthen, settle. And that is what we understand by the sanctified effects of those afflictions. But some may be suffering more continuing affliction, perhaps a lifetime affliction. And in it they will have to learn, as Job, patience. To grant them, Lord, that patience to suffer whatever it may be, but to be given from time to time perhaps that cheerful spirit, realizing that their sufferings are nothing compared with his. And if it should bring us into darkness of mind, then what darkness he knew. And how the sun seemed to frown. And yet, O Lord, in all that delivering work, it was that he might know all these things to succor poor tempted sinners. Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant also thy mercy upon one, upon a dying bed, as it would seem, sinking, we can say, and coming near to that time. Lord, may it be that there is breaking upon his soul. And may there be, therefore, the saving of that one that will cry even in his unconsciousness unto thee, and to be found, to be brought safe at last. Lord, also, do support the members of the family as they may look upon and see a dying father. May there be that stirred up also in their souls. May they know that they have to come also to that moment and article of death. And may it be, Lord, that that produces the needful exercise so that they may desire not only to die, as it were, the death of the righteous, but to have a humble and blessed confidence and hope that they shall die. The death of the righteous, because thou hast appeared unto them. Now, Lord, we pray that there will be with those that are absent at this time, perhaps away, some may return, the young ones, their studies, and others have come returning to this area for their studies. We would bear them up before thee. We would bear them up before thee, all the young, desire that thou wilt put a hedge about them. Oh, preserve them in this godless, wretched world. May they not be ensnared by the subtleties of Satan. Do, Lord, teach them, we pray, thy way. Lead them in those plain paths. There are many enemies. May they realize it. May they seek to be kept close to those things which are true, honest, lovely, and of good report. We do pray that there will be mindful also of those parents that seek to guide their children, to give them all needed wisdom. And may they be given the answer to the questions that sometimes may be put to them, or things that are said that may be as an arrow in their own soul, but able to speak a word in season. We do, Lord, desire that there will be mindful of those in other parts of the earth that have not this privilege to gather together as the manner is. Lord, may we, in considering that, never seek to forsake it whenever able to so gather. And we do pray particularly on thy appointed day, this day that thou hast given as a lively type of Christ having entered into his glory. As thou didst finish that work of creation, and so did rest, so he that has entered in for us is the rest of our souls. Lord, may we find therefore on this first day of the week that it is the strengthening consideration to help us on until we also may enter where he is. Now, Lord, do pardon, we pray, of our every sin, and make up in giving where we failed in our asking. So we ask these things for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 1119. Jesus, thou almighty Saviour, prostrate at thy feet I lie. Humbly I entreat thy favour, condescend to hear my cry. Hymn 1119.
Thank you.
Lord, may be pleased to help me. I will direct your attention to the book of Psalms, Psalm 54 and the first verse. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Psalm 54 and verse 1. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. The circumstances that caused David to pray the prayer of this psalm are mentioned at the very heading of it, and it was the situation which we read to you, particularly when he fled to escape in the wilderness and to the woods of Ziph. And there he had escaped from out of those that he had done some good for, even the men of Keilah, in sparing them and delivering them out from the hands of the Philistines. But Saul, knowing that David was shut in because the walled city and its bars, meaning there was only the one entrance, if Saul could surround that, then David would be besieged. And the great concern of David was not so much himself and his men, but that the city itself may be destroyed. But the concern of the Keilites, as was revealed by the Lord unto David, was that they would seek to save themselves, and therefore delivered David into the hand of Saul. But David, because the Lord gave him the time and the opportunity to escaped into the wilderness. And the wildernesses of the land being areas where perhaps a search would not be easy. But if David would not be safe there, then it may be thought that he would not be safe anywhere. But David was soon to realize that there was no safety in any place or in men. He could not trust them. And the Ziphites came and told Saul that he was in the strongholds of the wood. But David was brought to look alone to the one who was his safety, the one who could bring deliverance, the one who could make a way for David in these difficult places and at this difficult time. And though the circumstances of the Lord's people may be very different down through the course of their lives, yet there are those things where they find they can do no other than to cry out unto God, knowing that there is none other that can deliver or save them. And in some ways that is a good place to be brought to. Whilst we are still leaning upon an arm of flesh, then we may slip and fall, and may find that we may be overtaken by the enemy. And if we are his, there will be teaching in that. for the Lord may for a time bring us to be in the hands of those that would seek to destroy us. But it is only that he may then bring not only greater deliverances, but also to bring us to trust alone in him. Some may say very glibly, I put my trust in the Lord. But do they know the deceitfulness of their heart? Do they know how much they look to themselves? It is only when we come into these places where we are taught our utter helplessness and learn our utter wretchedness that then we may learn what it is to trust our God. David, it may be seen as we read throughout the Psalms, the oft times that he says his trust was in his God. But how did David say it so frequently and so often? Because the Lord was bringing him and teaching him in these particular ways and showing him this also, that what is impossible with man is possible with God. Remember that David had been anointed as king by Samuel when the Lord had taken his spirit from Saul because of his disobedience. And therefore the promise, the prospect, the expectation that David would be raised to that position under God to serve the people. But as time went on, it seemed as though the very time of his being raised up would be impossible. And David was brought to say, one day I shall perish at the hand of Saul. That was how David came. Yet, nonetheless, we see the grace of faith. And you know, faith is a very wonderful thing. It's something which we cannot fully lay hold of in the sense that we can say, well, all will be well because I have faith. Again, you may find those amongst and in the Christian world who will say, you've only got to believe. But have you proved in the midst of your greatest doubts and fears that there has been that belief and the holding fast to the fact that God is able to do that which you know in yourself and in the hand of others you cannot do? Faith will believe when everything seems to be loaded against it. And we see something of David's faith in a few chapters on from where we read, when again the Ziphites informed for Saul of David's whereabouts. And on that occasion, David came at night into the camp of Saul with his host of 3,000 men, a great number to go against one man and his little band. And there they slept. Saul's host slept. And David came and he took his spear, the spear of Saul and the cruse of water, from his bolster, and went and stood upon the hill, and then he cried unto Saul's chief captain and Abner, and chided him with his faithlessness. But Saul heard David's voice and realized how that David, instead of killing Saul, which he could well have done, yet it spared Saul's life. But in that, he took down also, David did, one with him, and Abiasha. And Abiasha was ready to cast the spear into Saul. And David said to Abiasha, "Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" David said, "Furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, for this day shall come, for his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is in his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go." Now that is faith acting in David. And how clearly he saw this, as it is said elsewhere, "I will work, God will work, God will perform the work to bring about his purposes." And so David's faith, it not only was to be brought into exercise, but it was also a means of saving himself from what may have been a sin, and that charged against him. Oh, my dear friends, to be kept in the day of our troubles, in the day when the enemies, whatever they may be, whoever they may be, seem to be overcoming us, yet may we be brought to this as we have it in this psalm. And doubtless David's heart on both those occasions would have been of this mind: "Save me, O God. Save me, O God." Well, now I want to try as help to consider those things from which we need to be saved. There are many occasions in the course of our life wherein we need to be saved. And if we are given the understanding of what we may indeed richly deserve, an account of our sin, we will know indeed the importance of salvation. By nature, whereof I know good in us. By nature, we are full of sin. By nature, we prove, as we have already mentioned, we have a deceitful heart, desperately wicked. Therefore, as such, having sinned, and who have we sinned against? God. We may have sinned against our fellows. We may have sinned against the people of God. We may have sinned against the church. We may have sinned all of those things, but our great sin is this. Against thee, the only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. David knew that he had to come and plead the mercy of his God when he himself was given over to iniquity, to sin, the sin of adultery, the sin of murder, the sin of seeking to cover up those things that he had been guilty of. And, you know, we do not always consider the awfulness of such a sin. It's not just the sins that we have committed and may perhaps even acknowledge, but what of the time that we've tried to find some way of keeping it away so that others may not know and perhaps most and foremost we've tried to keep it from God, thinking that he doesn't see. But we know that he has an omniscient eye. He sees us. He sees us where we are and what we're doing. Nothing is hid from him. Oh, it needs the Holy Spirit, though, to testify these things to us. And perhaps some of you may, in your ignorance, be going on thinking, well, nobody sees what I do. Whilst you are in that state, this will never be your prayer. But when the Lord causes you to realize that you cannot hide from him, and then to realize what you deserve by the way of punishment, then the Lord may grant you this cry, which says, save me, O God. If the prayer of David had ended there, it would have been a good prayer. I believe I know what it is to come to that point where we could only express these four words. Indeed, sometimes it's been only two words. You may say, what are they? Well, it's been simply, O Lord. We haven't known how to continue, but have pleaded it and cried it again and again. O Lord, O Lord, O Lord. But here, David was able to expand just that little bit and say, save me, O God. Save me, O God. Well, you will know then, under the Spirit's teaching, that you have a vile and wretched heart. You need to be saved first and principally from your own self. Oh, how we are left to ourselves to fall daily, hourly, every moment. To be convinced that there is sin in all we think and do and say. Then is there the sense brought into your soul that if I should die like this, where will I be? Eternity, tremendous sound. To guilty souls, a dreadful wound. Where will you spend eternity? It's from the depths of an eternal death, from hell itself, that you will require salvation. David, doubtless in his soul, had known something of this. The Lord had, in his mercy, saved him from such a prospect. As far as that was concerned, we may say he had a good hope through grace. And when we are brought to pray, save me, O God, another solemn sense may sometimes come over us, realizing what we are when under the cloud, as it were, a cloud of darkness, we see not our signs. We feel as though we may be as one cut off. All our sins seem to multiply, though perhaps years have passed since we had a sweet confirmation that the Lord had saved us, but now we come in all our felt wretchedness and have to cry, save me, O God, save me. We find that these words are recorded not only several times in the Psalms in various ways, save me for thy mercy's sake. But when you read the Psalm concerned, not only does it apply to the penman, but these Psalms are written under the prophetic mind of the Spirit. And in that 69th Psalm, where it clearly speaks of our Lord and Saviour, and of those that parted his garments and cast lots upon his vesture. And there we have this, save me for thy mercy's sake. The dear Son of God, who knew no sin, yet condescended to fulfill all that his Father had given him to do, to enter into those depths, to drink that cup, which he had to plead and say, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Save me. But the Lord saved his anointed. He saved his own dear son. Having laid down his life for his own dear people and borne their sins, bearing the punishment for them, he would then break the bands of death. Rise again, so that not only may it be seen that the Father saved his own anointed, who had come in the likeness of as we've already said, sinful flesh. It was that he might condemn sin in the flesh. He who knew no sin, no guile was found in his mouth. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And that is spoken concerning him as a high priest. And here we see him in his high priestly work. He had an offering to offer. A burnt offering. A sin offering. A meat offering. A peace offering. A trespass offering. As our Lord and Saviour laid down his life, so those varying offerings that were offered under the Levitical law, typical, they were typical of what our Lord was as he hung there for his own dear people. But here is the very hope of our salvation. And we may therefore come with a sweet confidence. I do not mean we may feel that confidence, but a trembling soul, ready to die, feelingly, may prove that he comes with a sweet confidence in this, that he who is ready to save will regard the prayer. Save me, O God. Well, now I must return in my thoughts and in my discourse. There are many things that the child of God will prove that he needs to be saved from. His great foe, the devil. Do we think that our Lord himself did not know and understand when he taught his disciples that prayer, after this manner pray ye? And in it, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Satan will ever seek to bring us into those paths where we may slip and fall, except we be kept. But the Lord is able to preserve us when we come into such paths, and sometimes he may permit it to be so only to prove that his own dear people are kept. Job, think of what he was to suffer. When Satan went forth from before the Lord, doing everything to cause Job to curse his God. And even his wives would have him to curse God and die. But Job, he maintained, through the gracious strength of God, he maintained his integrity and said, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not. It's a very remarkable thing, isn't it? When the Lord keeps us like he did Job. But so often we find we are the subjects of Satan's temptations, and we fall, we slip. we easily are ensnared and we are drawn away. Sometimes we may fall into such temptation and sin by his roaring, and sometimes it may be that he comes as that angel of light to deceive. And before we know where we are, we have realized that we've fallen into the trap before we were unseen, before we realized there was a snare. Now, as the child of God is made tender in the fear of God, he may be brought daily to plead, "Save me, O God, from such temptation, from such things that may bring me into that place that will bring dishonour upon thy name and harm to my soul. Save me, O God." But we may also consider one who is there caught up in the net, like Bunyan's pilgrims were there in the flatterer's net. And their cry needed to be the substance of this prayer: "Save me, O God. Save us, O God." They could not disentangle themselves. There was no way to escape until the ones were sent, the shining ones, to deliver them and lead them back to the path. And then they came under the chastening rod, and they were thankful for it. And they were set again on the way. Oh, how often we have to come then to know in such places there's only one thing to deliver us from it. Save me, O God. Sometimes when left to our coldness, faintness, indifference, carnality, all these things often assail us, don't they? And you feel as though you go from day to day, then week to week, then month to month, and even year to year, and you become so carnal. Unless there's a stirring up within, unless the Lord brings things perhaps into your life, it may be certain things that come, difficulties, hardships, tragedies, they are all solemn rebukes. And it brings you to cry, "Oh, save me, O God. Save me." But then we find we live in a godless, bewitching world. Oh, how we need to be saved from it. We may perhaps be saved, I trust it is so with most of you, from ever falling into the evils that are apparent, clearly apparent, that we do not get involved in drunkenness or theft or murder. Not that we will be able to point the finger at those that do. If you know your own wretched heart, yes, you may perhaps in the fierceness of your trouble, and you see those that have risen up against you, you might wish them dead. You might as well have killed them. I would speak very carefully and solemnly and also soberly. But those of you that know your own heart will know what I mean. How we need to be saved, therefore, from those things that work in our own heart.
which may be the forerunner, if not the very thing to cause us to sin in that open outward way. Yeah, we need to be kept, though, from the more subtle things, when we may readily tell a lie, or perhaps, as some may say, we're economical with the truth, we don't tell and therefore are not wholly honest. Solemn, you know, to keep back part of the price and lie about it. But have you all had this borne in upon your own conscience? And there you struggle under it, and perhaps fear that you've sinned God away, so to speak. But here is a cry, here is a prayer. And will the Lord not regard it when he has brought you there in all your distress to say, save me, O God, save me. The great blessing is when the Lord does bring you to know your sin, to feel the awfulness of its consequences in a measure, because it can only be in a measure, and to know that there is forgiveness. If there should his mark iniquity, who shall stand? You tremble under that. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Cry on, poor distressed sinner. Oh, you may perhaps be plagued by these things and thoughts, but save me, O God. But I must quickly return and then close, because my time is gone, with regard to this bewitching world and the spirit of it. You know, it's the spirit of it. The pride of the world, the covetous spirit. And when you look upon a something of another and then you covet it, is it a good covetousness? It will be a good thing if you may look upon the Lord's people and view their grace. And you begin and say, oh, if I only had their grace. Well, perhaps you have got their grace. That you've been humbled under a sense of your great need of his grace and of the grace of others. That is what has brought you to feel as you do. But there is a covetousness that will covet the best gifts. But they are spiritual. They're not carnal. We're talking about the worldly covetousness that is seen by many. They're never satisfied. Give, give. They want more. More of what? More of this wretched world, more of its pleasures, more of its ways, more of its deceitfulness. They don't mind how they obtain their gains, as long as they obtain them, by all kinds of methods and means. And sometimes it's so subtle, you know, so subtle. I remember one of our ministers a good number of years ago. He was tempted to fill in one of the one of these sheets that would, I suppose you'd call it a staking his bets upon a certain thing. And he said, I filled it all in. And what was more, he was assured that he would have won. He would have won what was offered. However many pounds it may have been, I do not know. And he went down and got as far as the post box to put the envelope in. And when he got there, he realized his sin. The Lord had graciously delivered him. But you see how subtle it can be. Sometimes we unthinkingly do something, and it's the worldly spirit that has got hold of us. We think that £100 would be so pleasant to have. Yes, and lose your own soul. £100 will be so pleasant, what you could do with it. And Satan will say, yes, think who you could give it to. Think all the needy causes that you could help. Yes. And that may be so. But by what means have you obtained that which you may now seek to give as though that will make amends for it? I don't know why I'm saying these things. But all I know is that this very spirit, unless I'm saved from it, will be found in my own heart. And I cannot say I haven't thought it. But oh, if the Lord has put this into my soul at that particular moment, save me, O God, from this bewitching temptation. What are those things? To have one sweet, blessed word from God. Be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You won't want anything then else, will you? Begone all the riches of men and all that they may do with it. If it's an ill-gotten means by which they obtain it, then to have that which you may receive justly from his own blessed right hand, some token for good, some sweet promise, some blessed word. Well, save me. Save me, O God, from the bewitching world. And I must just conclude with this. You pass on through life. The Lord may have heard your cry many times of this nature, and he has saved you. There's still one enemy, a great enemy, the last enemy, that is death. Save me, O Lord, from that, from those the swellings of Jordan. How shall you do in the swellings of Jordan? Well, the hymn writer had a very precious realization of how he may be saved indeed. It's very near to my heart. I trust that when I come to that moment, I will be able to plead the same. In that dread moment, oh, to hide beneath his sheltering blood. 'Twill Jordan's icy waves desert, divide and now my soul with God. Save me, O God.
God willing, Mr. Hadley will preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Timothy Parrish will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn number 292. Amidst 10,000 dangers which everywhere abound, the pilgrims and the strangers alone secure are found. For on their Lord they're waiting, they seek him night and day. His aid they're supplicating in his appointed way. Hymn 292.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.